Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Martine, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Lisa, I am so honored and so excited to be here with you.
I am so excited to have you here as well. You were mentioning that we've been friends since 2017. Tell me how we met.
Well, my dear friend Corey is an avid podcast listener, and she told me about the Biz Chicks podcast.
Okay.
And I think that's where I met you. That's where I heard about you.
Okay.
And so then I subscribed to you, your emails in September of 2017. It's probably from like an automatic download that I wanted from you. And then I made my own Sunday basket in November of 2017, but it didn't take me long to realize that I wanted the real deal. And so in January of 2018, I did Sunday Basket Workshop 1.0. And then in April 2.0, so this was at the beginning.
Yes, this is before we even had a Sunday basket and we were selling the slash pockets and I was doing the classes and you bought the little classes individually. There wasn't even a package. There wasn't a Sunday basket club. There wasn't even a certification program. There wasn't anything. This is like back when there was black and white TV.
That's right, in the dark ages. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. And you're like an OG.
Yes. Then I bought more slash pockets from you and just was so excited about the 2.0s. My 2.0s are maybe a little bit over crazy at this moment, but we can talk about that another time. Then I bought the Workbox program in September of 19. And then a year later in November of 2020, I purchased the 100-day program.
Wow, you are really organized with your timeline.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's yeah. I did research. I prepared.
Gonna say you may be the most research person on the podcast.
I know that it's important when people are new or old listening to you, Lisa, that they have a framework of the timeline. And I think it's really helpful to hear what other people have. So I wanted to make sure I had that for you.
Well, you know, so 2017, I had a podcast. The 100-day program would have only been, that started in 2016, I believe. So it would have, you know, we had a planner. I think the planner came out in the fall of 2017. So because the company is 10 years old now, it's so interesting because the first 5 years of the business, I was just trying to make sure the business would be open one more day. Like literally every day it could have been like, well, we're done now. And then that second 5 years, which is you came in right about at the 5-year mark. Mm-hmm. I have now known enough business owners to know that the first 5 years are just like that. Like you don't know if you have proof of concept. You aren't really sure who you're talking to yet. You aren't really 100% confident in what it is that you bring uniquely to the marketplace. You kind of know you're in the right industry, but you're not really sure what your spin on things is or what your uniqueness is. Like even like if you run an at-home daycare center, like do you specialize in after-school care or babies or sick care? Like there's just so many different niches that you can go into. But that second 5 years in business, now that we've just finished it, it really was I know this is what we're supposed to do. And so now I'm just going to invest. Like I invested in me. I invested in the team. I invested in prototypes. I invested in intellectual property protection. I invested in then creating physical products. Then I invested in physical space. And then we invested in having more corporate structures and became a corporation. And now at the end of 10 years, like we have our business has not changed that much in the last 5 years as far as the messaging. Like if you listen to the podcast from 5 years ago and today, I'm saying almost exactly the same thing. No, I'm not. Here I am. I'm not. It's just I'm more confident in what I'm saying. It's a little bit more nuanced. I've gotten more research. I've gotten, I have more confidence in what I'm saying because I now have more and more of you that are saying back to me, Yes, I'm saving 5 hours. Yes, I have my brain back. Yes, you've given me grace. Yes, like things that I didn't even know that I was doing. And the team around me is hearing it from you as well. And they're saying, no, 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 Lisa, we're doing this. Like we can let that go because this is what we're really, really good at. And we're going to focus on this. And it's just so fun to hear that. But at the same time, like you're giving your timeline of the last 5 years, it is organization. I don't create any external urgency on getting organized. You have enough pressure on yourself. You're already beating yourself up enough about the fact yes. that you don't think you're organized enough. So I don't need to do that. I don't need any countdown timers. I don't need any expiring notices. It takes longer for me to get through a sales cycle for people to purchase into Organize 365 if they're going to, but I'm happier with the company that I made because I know that once you do make an investment, you're almost over ready by the time you do it. So there's no buyer's remorse. Like you don't have that. So hearing your timeline, like what I like about your timeline is I'm going to be like, I've been here for 10 years. I plan on being here for the next 25. Like I'm making a 25-year plan from today. So keep listening.
I love it.
I think you'll just have, you know, and when it's time for you to move beyond just listening to the podcast to get into more of the communities, like it'll be time.
Yeah.
And it'll just naturally happen. So I love hearing that. Now, where are you located?
I live in France, in the countryside.
Have you always lived in France?
No, actually. We accidentally moved during the pandemic.
Okay, so you were in the US?
Yes, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Well, okay, now back up. How do you accidentally move to France? I'd like to know how to do this.
Well, we're a multicultural family, and we love France. We love traveling, and so we during the pandemic, obviously, we couldn't go to do our annual trip to France with the kids, and so we got a little frustrated with that, and I think we decided that if we couldn't go on vacation, we would just go and move there.
That's awesome.
And here we are. Yes. Yes. And that was about a year ago. And it's life is good. Life is good here. We're very happy.
So are you going to stay for a long time or just, you don't know yet?
I think we are going to stay for a long time. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, all right. Who lives in your home with you? Tell me about these kids.
Sure. Sure. Well, I have a lovely 16-year-old and who's doing online high school. So she's home all the time. And then my 18-year-old is in college in another country, two countries over. And so she's just home for the holidays off and on. And then my husband of 29 years. And we have two dogs. We have Rolf, the German Shepherd, who's very needy. And then we have Charlie, who's an emotional support animal. And she takes care of everybody in the family.
We put a lot on our dogs, don't we?
We do.
They have to do all the work for us.
Yeah.
All the loving. We need all the loving. Yeah. I don't know. We didn't have dogs until Hunter's what, 6. We were cat people, no dog people. We were never going to have dogs. Walked into a pet store, came home with a dog. And now, honestly, I don't know what Greg, he was meant to have dogs. We will always have to have dogs. Like, and Abby too. Like, she has her Chihuahua, Frank. Mm-hmm. Frank, who Greg always is trying to give away, but you know Greg would never give him away. And I don't know what Abby and Greg would do without dogs. They have to have dogs.
Can I tell you something funny about Hunter?
Okay.
When I first started listening to you back in 17, I thought, because you talked about being a mother and everything, I thought that Hunter was your toddler.
Well, I do talk to him like
because, you know, because of his, you were buying him toys and everything. Yes.
I'm a consumer, Martine. Like the GDP of the United States is going to go down if I stop ordering. I don't go into many stores. But my husband's like, how many boxes can come to the house? I'm like, I don't know. Do you want me to beat my record? He's like, no, I wasn't trying to challenge you. I was like, hey, the world needs people like me who like to buy everything that she sees on Instagram or whatever. I'm like, how did this even get in here? Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm definitely a consumer's dream. I buy hashtag all the things. So yeah, of course I buy them all for my dog. And if you're looking for a business to go into, pets are pandemic proof. They are recession proof. They are everything proof. Like in 2008, people increased the spending on their pets. It's the only category that people increased on. It was pets. I venture to say people like their dogs sometimes more than their children. Sometimes. I've seen it. I've actually seen it.
It's definitely all right. Awesome.
Yeah. So you're over in France now, which I'm just like, so I've been to France. I went to France when I was 16. I went to 8 different countries. France is beautiful. Like it is so beautiful. I was in Southern France.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So beautiful. We were supposed to go to Italy when the pandemic happened. And now I don't know when we're going to get over there, but I love the idea of being over in Europe and being able, like you said, your daughter's like 2 countries over. It's like 2 states over. I just love the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, being able to see all those different cultures, and I cannot wait until that becomes our reality again. But the grandbaby has been added in there, so it'll be a little while before we fly over an entire large body of water, I think.
Yes.
Okay, so why did you decide to start getting organized 5 years ago? What was it that you heard it on the Biz Chicks podcast and you rabbit trailed over to this, but
has been the best rabbit trail of my life. You've changed my life. I mean, you're part of my life. I have a workbox. I have my Sunday basket. My husband is excited about doing Sunday basket on Sunday mornings. You know, I tell the kids, oh yeah, I'm going to go do errands with Lisa, and they don't roll their eyes anymore. You know, you're part of the fabric of our life here in France.
I love it.
You are. You definitely are. Yeah, because I'm definitely a productivity nerd myself. I love to know how to improve processes. Just like the song by Daft Punk, I want to do things better, faster, stronger.
Yes.
And I get there with you helping me, because you give me such inspiration and such tolerance and grace that allows me to do my best and not feel guilty about when I don't do my best, because there are times when I do not do my best, for sure.
Oh, I love that. Giving yourself grace and giving other people grace. It's really hard to give yourself grace, because it's much easier to give it than to receive it. Like around the office, I'll be like, okay, all these things. Blah, blah, blah. And they'll be like, how about if you take some of that grace that you give other people? I'm like, oh, but that's not for me. It's for other people. And they're like, no, we're going to have you take it right now. It's so much different than to receive it than to give it. And it really is humbling to receive mm-hmm. grace, I think, to realize that, okay, I'm excellent. I'm not perfect. It's okay. Like this is good, and good is good.
Just like asking for help. It's the same thing. Yeah. You don't want to ask for help, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm a self-made right. woman, so
yes,
I didn't get anything handed to me on a platter. So I always think that I have to go, do everything perfectly. And that means, you know, not sitting down, not resting, not reading my book. And, you know, sometimes it's counterproductive. So I've learned a lot from you.
Okay. So since you're in France, can we have a cultural discussion?
Yes.
Know that I'm totally ignorant. That's a good word for it. So stereotypically, the French people are more relaxed and able to more enjoy their time and savor their food. I mean, I've read about this French diet where if you just enjoy your food and sit down and eat it slower, that you will not eat as much and you will lose weight. I also think it's the fact that you're walking everywhere, which is why you don't weigh as much in Europe as you do in the United States, but that's different. Is the pace of life slower in France? More explain.
I will explain, Lisa.
Thank you.
So France is both a Latin country, so mm-hmm. relaxed, food is important, family's important, time off is important, but also a very productive country. So it's sort of a dichotomy here. But definitely you're right about meals. Meal time is sacred here. Stores close usually between 12:30 and 2:30. So you have time to go to lunch. At dinner, I'd say the entire country at 8:30 p.m. is eating dinner at the same time.
At 8:30 p.m.?
Yeah, 8 or 8:30 p.m. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really late.
It is really late, but you just get used to it. And it's also there's a lot of solidarity. I don't know if that's the right word. A lot of comfort in the knowledge that right now, I don't have to do laundry or go back to my email it's time to eat. So let's sit down and have a nice meal together.
And how long does this meal take?
Oh, it could be really long. It depends on the conversation going on. So it could be 40 minutes or it could be 2 hours. And tonight we have guests that we haven't seen in a long time. And so it'll probably be like 4 hours. So.
And then after, okay, so what do you do after dinner? Do you just like do the dishes and go to bed?
You talk, you watch TV, I do puzzles on my phone. My daughter's teaching me friendship bracelets right now. So yeah, there's always something to do.
So how early does work start then the next day if you're eating dinner at 8:30 at night?
It's really 9 o'clock culture for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I work in a global corporation. And mm-hmm. so my timeline is my own. My manager is in England, which is an hour behind me. Most of my colleagues are 6 hours behind me on the East Coast in the US. And then most of my customers are in my own time zone. So really my schedule is my own, but in general businesses, you know, you don't make meetings with anyone before 9:30. Like people are in the office at 9 and some people earlier, but really, you know, meetings don't start until 9:30. And of course you don't make meetings during lunchtime, even during the week. So that's.
And end of day is?
Like 6-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking like in America, I'm thinking about all these people are doing intermittent fasting. So like they're not eating breakfast and they're eating like at 11 or 12 and then they're closing their feeding window at 6. I'm like, that doesn't work in France based on what you're saying.
It doesn't. No. Okay. But during the week, I mean, you could, you know, you don't have to have dinner every night. You could skip a couple of nights if you wanted to intermittent fasting. And another interesting thing about the French schedule is that I feel like in the States, everything's between 9 and 5, like even like the stores and shopping and errands. And there's like one long period, but here I feel like I have my morning, right? I mean, like my 4-hour chunk and then I have lunch and then I have another 4-hour chunk. So I could, and even on the weekends, it feels like that as well. Like I can choose to laze around in the morning, have lunch and then do something productive or fun or go out in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. The time is just, it's compartmentalized differently. And I enjoy living that way for sure.
So that's kind of how I live on the weekends. And I have podcasts, depending on when this one comes out, they're either about to come out or you just heard them all about what my Saturday looks like, what my Sunday looks like, what my morning routine, afternoon routine, and evening routine. It's going to be 5 podcasts. I already recorded them all. So you could actually hear like, what does Lisa actually do? So for the morning routine, I recorded my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So you could hear the variances because I actually have 2 different morning routines. It's not just one. There's a short shower morning and there's a long shower morning. And then there's a weekend. And the weekend is just completely different than the work week. And I think that this conversation we didn't expect to have is something that is not really talked about in America. Like in America, you have a morning routine and you do it. A lot of people who profess to do a morning routine do it 7 days a week. It doesn't matter where you still get up at 6 a.m. and you still do your workout and whatever. Like there's like no break. There's never a break in America. But when I talked to and recorded my Saturday and Sunday routine, my Saturday and my Sunday are completely different kinds of days. And my Saturday is exactly what you just said. I like the day before Christmas and the day after Christmas, I did not get out of bed until 1. I was up at 8 a.m., but I didn't get out of bed until 1. And like Greg and I talk in bed. Abby brings us the baby. We watch him for like 2 hours. He takes a nap on me in bed. And then they all left and I watched a movie before I even got up, which is so weird. I've never done it before. And I love it. And Greg and I started doing this just laying in bed on Saturday mornings until like 11 or whenever we wanted to about a year ago. And we really love it. And then we get up, we have lunch, and then I do something productive until around my idea of dinner is 4:30 or 5. Have a short dinner and then I do something fun in the evening. And yeah, I totally chunk my day like that. So then when in America, we're always trying to figure out how we do all of these tasks that we have inside of the front of the 100-day program, the errands, the cleaning, the laundry, the meal prep, the Sunday basket. Like when did those things happen in a traditional French culture or do they just skip some of them?
So One thing that I've added to your productivity hacks is that there's a key time when you want to call people, right? So, you know, the Sunday basket tasks, the red folder that I dread, where you have to call the insurance or call this, that, and the other. Yes. Well, there's ideal times to call people. You don't want to call at 9. You don't want to call at 12 because they're about to go to lunch. So, you know, I have a reminder in my head or on my computer at 11:30 to make that phone call, whatever it is, because people are still at their desks, still going to answer the phone, still have time to work on whatever I'm asking them to do. And mm-hmm. then they can go to lunch. But that really helps me to get it over with as well, because I really dislike making those phone calls where you have to ask people for something and then you have to have all the information ready. But it's part of the things that make our lives go forward, right? So mm-hmm. if we're dealing with an insurance issue or a health issue yep. or appointments or something to do with the house, you know, our house is 400 years old. So there's lots and lots of stuff that needs to be done on it. So, you know, there's definitely things.
This house is older than our country.
I love it. I love it. Thomas will think that's funny too. I'll be sure
to tell you. Your house is 400 years old. Can I even comprehend this?
Yeah. Yeah. Stone house. Been here a long time.
Don't make things like they used to anymore. I apologize for making you speak on behalf of all French people.
If you would like, I can be the customer service desk of France. So you go ahead and ask all your questions.
I think one of the things I love about social media and just in general, like our Organized 365 community, we're recording this the end of 2021. So planning day is this weekend. And there are a whole group of Australian members who are going to literally get up at 2 a.m. and listen to planning day in the middle of the night because they just love doing it live with me. And I love having them live with me. But I think that the Organized 365 community is international. Like, it is global. Greg, his company is like so-and-so global. I'm like, yeah, I'm global too. And he's like, okay, all right, pipe down over there, Lisa. But I'm like, yeah, we are. We're global. I'm global. But I think that we have this commonality of our homes. Ours are a little bit younger than yours, Martine. It's not 400 years. All of ours collectively might not be 400 years old. But we all are living in these spaces and we have these commonalities, but we can learn so much from the pluses of other cultures and integrate that. I don't have to move to France to start having a longer lunch. You know, I don't actually even take a lunch. My son comes in, he goes, could you just take a lunch like once a month? Like just once, but no, I work straight through the day. I get in at 7:30 and I work till 4:30 and then I gain all that extra time. I'm such an American. I don't know what to tell you. But there is a benefit. I have that French Saturday and I just love it. Like, I love that laid back, no responsibilities. I'm really enjoying this. I would not have had that at a different season in my life. And I love taking those different learnings from different cultures and different countries and creating whatever kind of a schedule I want to have.
Sounds like a new book, Lisa. Yeah. The French Saturday.
The French Saturday. Okay, I'll help write it. Okay, somebody else write it. Just say, "Oh yeah, Lisa, well, had this podcast."
My specialty is getting books out of people, so I can help you write that book if you like.
Okay, well, tell me about this. What is it that you're uniquely created to do?
Well, that's an interesting question. So, one thing I know that I'm uniquely created to do is to be an employee, just like you need to be an entrepreneur. I love my job. I love my colleagues. I love the stuff I get done. I love my customers. I love my products. I mean, I'm so happy. I'm uniquely created to be an employee. Also, I just like that, that productivity and, you know, generating income that way. Really I believe what I'm uniquely created to do is to help people get books out of them, right? There's a book inside your head and there's a book inside everyone, like at dinner tonight. Yeah. I'll probably ask my guests, what's the book inside your head? And I'm sure I'm going to get an answer. So I love working with people on that. I've helped recently a good friend. She has a fantastic podcast that she's finishing. So I've been helping her. And I mean, it's amazing. It's called The Last Saturday Night. It has Ed Asner in it. Just amazing. It's going to be fabulous. And also I know that the same friend has another book inside of her, and I have a book inside me too. So I've been working on that book, and so that's what I'm uniquely created to do.
That is so cool. So do you have more time to work on that now?
I do have more time. I've chiseled out some time, to write on my own book or my own blog, and also I spend my social time really, helping other people.
What is the book that you have inside of you?
The book, well, mine, it's tongue in cheek. It's Idle Thoughts of an Idle Lady, which is a spoof on a Jerome K. Jerome book he wrote over 100 years ago, Idle Thoughts of an Idle Man. And so my book is Idle Thoughts of an Idle Lady. So it's just general musings and philosophies. The most recent is obviously How to Move to France During a Pandemic. And it's very practical, but it's also very, very tongue in cheek, just because, you know, there's so many different things, so many different adventures, you know, moving to France, entailed. So that's my project.
I love it. And I also love that you said that you were uniquely created to be an employee. I love that you say that, because very few of us are uniquely created to be an entrepreneur. Like, it's a really small amount, because can you imagine? If there were very many more of us, we're kind of unusual. And I do feel like the Organized 365 team members, they are uniquely created to be on this Organized 365 team, and they fit a unique purpose, each one of them. And when any of them are missing, then there is a hole where that person is on our team. And so I really think that each unique skill set inside of an organization is unique and is valued. I have often said that we have administrative assistants in Organized 365. Pat is my executive administrative assistant. She was my very first hire. I have watched other companies. I've watched other companies completely get rid of their administrative staff, like as if like they don't need that anymore. And then I watch what happens to the employees that then have to do those administrative tasks that they're not gifted at, and how their performance at work either goes down, but more often it does not go down because the employee is so responsible. The employee has not such a good work environment anymore. They have a lot more stress. They don't have as good quality of life, and they start to lose the love for their job. And here's another book, Martine. I think it's all because we have not valued the administrative assistant role inside of companies, which is I think it's one of the most important roles inside of a company is your administrative team that keeps your company running. And it is a unique skill set. It is not something that everyone could just do. So you don't need to have that. So I love that you say that, because I do think it's not mentioned often how valuable each unique employee is inside of a company, and that each unique role inside of a company is super important. That's why they were created. As these companies were created, they realized they needed administrative staff, they needed operations people, they needed IT people, they needed marketing people, they needed all these different unique skill sets. And it's not just about a body, it's about a skill set and a mindset and a strength. And so thank you for bringing that to our attention. All right. So Martine, what do you have less of?
What I have less of now is paper, clutter, stress, and self-doubt.
Ooh, less self-doubt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Can you articulate how that has manifest for you? Like an example where you had more confidence?
I think an example of that would be just knowing that what I do today is the best I can do. For example, you're going to crack up when you hear my experience with the 100-day program. Okay. But I have a lot of self-doubt there. But then I'm like, you know what? I'll get there. You know, just like, I think I listened to your interview with Holen, and she mentioned that she wasn't doing the 100-day program, but she was watching the videos. How brilliant is that?
Yeah.
Just like I was listening to your podcast and soaking in it, if you will. And now I'm going to do the same thing as Holen. I'm going to watch the videos. And then I'm going to have it sort of sink in by osmosis.
Yes.
And then the 100-day program will come to me.
Yeah. Okay, so I have to ask you another French question. So I often say that in America, we cannot get rid of all the paper because America is paper-based. Is France paper-based?
Like, it is very paper-based. Okay. I have binders of stuff that I use in every area of my life. Thanks to you, really, the binder situation. There's lots and lots of paper here. Mm-hmm.
So are there things digitized in France that we don't have digitized in America, or that are paper-based in France that are digitized in America that you could think of?
One really cool thing that's digitized, two things that are digitized. One is doctor's appointments. Okay. There's an app that you can use, and you can make an appointment with any doctor with any subject. And obviously we have fabulous healthcare here, number one country in the world for healthcare. And it's all included, covered, paid for, no pre-existing conditions, et cetera. And you can make an appointment with a dermatologist, with the general practitioner, with the psychiatrist, with to get a vaccine, whatever you need. So that's really fabulous. You don't have to call to make the appointment or call different your insurance first and So that's really beautiful. Another thing is, I was thinking about accounting. In the States, we would do, my husband and I, when we didn't have two quarters to rub together, we were doing accounting like every 2 days sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going to go, how are we going to pay this? What's going to go there? Mm-hmm. Because we had our limited income. And then as we got older, we had the kids and the house and the blah, blah, blah. The financial, the bills, the insurance, the co-pays, the insurance that didn't pay for some medical thing. You have to pay this bill, that bill, then, you know, this person overcharges, you have to call them. That doesn't exist here, really. Everything is direct debit from your account, like your electric bill, your gas bill. And I know you can do that in the States. But like even a credit card, for example, a credit card is really just a debit card here that gets debited at the end of the month from your account. So you don't have to pay off your credit card because it just comes out at the end of the month. You don't have to write, when I have to write a check, I have to Google it on how to write a check in France or in America, because I don't remember how to write a check. Where does it, what goes where? So yeah, so there's a lot less accounting done.
So fascinating. I was speaking to a group in a Fortune 50 company, and I was presenting the information on our research for housework. And they were asking questions. And at the end of this presentation, I'm pretty sure this is where this question was asked. One of the participants said to me, "Lisa, when are we finally going to get to where everything is digitized? Like, for example, like in healthcare, where we don't have to have these binders and we don't have to have these papers." And I said, in the United States, we never will. And I said, the reason why we never will in the United States is because you would have to get all of these private entities, private healthcare providers, private doctors, private pharmacies to all go onto one centralized system. And they'll never go all onto one centralized system, because even in this specific Fortune 50 company that I was talking to, I knew some of the inner workings. I said, you guys change your systems all the time. And then you make outside entities change to your system when they want to integrate with you. Well, the same thing is going to happen with all the big pharmaceuticals and insurance companies and healthcare providers. And so to get all, the only way you could get them all in one, I said, is if one person owned it all, like if it was a state-run entity. And Martine, you're telling me I was right.
Yes, you were exactly right.
First of all, I was right. And second of all, that means you're never going to have it in America, because we're not,
No.
Even Obamacare didn't like reach all of those different entities. So, you know, unless we get raptured to, and we live on Mars or something, and the SpaceX guy creates whatever it is, and we're all on the same one, then it'll all be digital. But in the United States, we're not. So this is just another great example of how organization is both by your phase of life and where you live and the kind of family that you have. Like, do you have children? Don't you have children? Are you self-employed or are you an employee? Do you live in France or do you live in the United States? Like, all of these different pieces that make your unique situation create your unique organization and paper situation. And so, yeah, interesting to know that I'm right on that too.
Yes.
The more you question and think and learn and talk to people, the smaller the world gets, but also the bigger your ideas and your knowledge and your possibilities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So fascinating. Absolutely. Now I just want to have Wednesday podcast guest interviews with anybody else international, so we can then have all these questions for other countries.
I love I will tune in because I love culture comparisons. I love that.
So shout out to everybody else who doesn't live in the United States. Yeah. So we can then find out like what happens in Canada, what happens in Australia, what happens in England, what happens in Spain. I want to know. So just so you know, we will go off script. I always go off script. Is there anything you wish you had known sooner?
I wish that I knew I could just jump into the 100-day program and not worry about starting from the beginning. And that was just a few weeks ago that I heard Holland say that. And I said, that woman is brilliant. And it's how I've made the Sunday basket work for myself. So why not the 100-day program?
Yeah, there is no right or wrong way to do this. And there is no expiration date. I'm going to be around for a long time. So just jump in anywhere. Eventually we'll get to everything. Kind of like Montessori education. And what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out?
I would say to definitely give yourself grace, no beating yourself up. I mean, why do we beat ourselves up? I mean, the things I say to myself sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I would not say to I don't have a worst enemy, but I wouldn't say to someone I didn't like. Like, why do I say these things to myself? So be nice to yourself. You'll get there. And just to start slowly with the Sunday basket. And I would think that maybe don't expand to the 2.0 Sunday basket too quickly, because that's what I did. And now my Sunday basket is overflowing with pink and purple and green and everything else. And sometimes I have to just go back to just ignore all of the 2.0s and go back to, you know, the waiting, what's in the waiting file? What are the phone calls I have to make at 11:30 every day? What are the computer things I have to do, which I love to do. I love those things for sure. Yeah. I think that's probably the advice I would give.
So Martine, what has happened in this organization journey that you did not expect to happen?
Well, I think, one of the big things in my life that happened, is that when I was on the organization journey as well, is that I've been battling depression and working on my mental health. And I think having the Sunday basket and your whole program, your whole philosophy has really helped me with that.
Yeah. So when you say that the Sunday basket, because we hear this over and over again, and it frankly shocks me that the two things that people say that they really get out of Organize 365 is that it reduces their anxiety and it reduces their depression. And you cannot make claims like that, just FYI, in any country, I'm pretty sure. And so but it's something that I hear over and over and over again. Some people say, I have more joy, I have more peace, I have more confidence, but it all comes back to this kind of like, you don't feel like you're drowning anymore. And like, you can get a breath. Does the Sunday basket reduce depression? Is it because instead of seeing a whole list of things, you can see chunked things? Is it because you feel like you have control over it because you can now touch it because it's in a slash pocket and you can move it around and you can put it on a calendar? Like, can you articulate it all, like how that happened or how you observed it happening? Because it happened for me too.
I would say that the anxiety one is the one that's easiest to put your finger on, because if you can externalize your brain, as you say, you know, you can remove something from your brain.
Yeah.
Call for a haircut when you actually need to be like writing your book or working on a presentation or working on some brilliant thing at work. You don't have time to be thinking about the stupid haircut.
Right.
You need to put that in your, so the anxiety is definitely, that's definitely, I think, a one-to-one correlation. For the depression, I think it's a little bit cloudy as to how it helps, but maybe it's part of getting things under control, being more tolerant of yourself and of people around you. And also I think that, you know, there's situational depression, right? Where you're depressed because of illness or money or failure or, you know, whatever it might be. But then there's also just depression that runs through you that is chemical. And that's what I have, because let me tell you, my life is perfect. There is no reason for me to be depressed. Everyone around me, I mean, I am just, I live a charmed life. I really do. So mine is just, it's just a chemical problem. And I think that the Sunday basket allows me time to get my thoughts in order and to really break things down. And I think that that can help as well.
And so it is helping a chemical depression as well?
I don't know how, Lisa. I don't know how. Maybe it's your cheery voice when, you know, maybe when I'm, you know, I'm having an episode and can't get out of bed or can't do what I'm supposed to do. Maybe just listening to your voice, it brings me back to the present and brings me back to where I want to be. And it gets me on my feet and out the door. Wow. And doing what I need to do.
Wow. There is, I don't know what has happened, but this is definitely something that has happened. Maybe somebody else can come explain it to me. But there is a, people will say, so I was just laying on the couch. I was like, oh, I'll just listen to a podcast. They're like, and the next thing I know, I'm up and I'm da, 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 da. Because there is something about the Organize 365 podcast that your brain goes, oh, we organize now. Even if you're not, even if you haven't paid for any of the programs, like you put on the Organize 365 podcast, you're like, okay, I do laundry and I fold and I organize this drawer while I listen to this podcast. The other thing I would say is my depression was definitely situational. I now know that there is chemical depression that runs through my biological family. I don't believe I have it, but I did have situational depression. And I think that how creating this program got me out of my situational depression was twofold. One, the physical act of decluttering and organizing is a kinesthetic activity. Like people will say they go run or they exercise and it releases endorphins. I wouldn't know because I don't do exercise. I just don't do it. But I think that when you exercise in your house and you move garbage bags of stuff and you declutter past successes and hopes and dreams and everything, there is a kinesthetic action to that movement that probably yes. does change your endorphins. But I think the second part is I had done that before. I decluttered like crazy and I still was a raving lunatic after. Like I was just like, get out of my way. Like I was decluttering rage that didn't end up in a happy, you know, chocolate chip cookie affair after. It was just like Lisa was still in a bad mood at the end of the decluttering, if you know what I mean. So I think that the difference for me is that when I turned 40 and I started decluttering, I was decluttering with the intention of, I can't live this way anymore. So whatever I've been doing is not working. And I know I definitely need to get organized and I need to declutter in order to get to the end. But also my expectation for what this is going to look like at the end has to completely change because I'm never going to be able to have that Pinterest perfect house. And that's what I had been decluttering for before. So I'd done the kinesthetic activity. I'd gotten kind of the outward thing, but I was still so mad on the inside because I still didn't see the reality of what I expected to see. So when I changed to, I'm just going to take the next step to living a proactive versus a reactive life. I'm not trying to get this perfect. I just would like to get the bills paid on time and know where my stuff is and stop buying things that I already own. The intention behind how I was getting organized made it so at the end, I could look around and see like, well, I'm not there yet, but I'm closer. I'm not there yet, but I'm closer. And I kept getting closer and closer and closer instead of working like crazy to something I was never going to achieve. Because my house is not perfect. It's pretty good, but it's no one's going to come take pictures. Let me just tell you.
Work in progress.
Yeah. So I wonder if it is the changing of your mindset of the expectation of the after in your head that actually helps to relieve the mad part inside of your head.
Yes. More tolerant. Mm-hmm. More serene. Mm-hmm. I can change, you know, I can change some things. I can't change everything. What can I change? What am I in control of? And I've heard yes. you say that many times.
And not worrying about your spouse, mm-hmm. your kids, your house, your country, whatever. Like, all right, well, I'm in France now. This is what they do in France. Okay. I'm in the United States now. This is what they do in the United States. Like you can have dinner at 8:30 in the United States and you can have dinner at, you know, 5:30 in France. That's fine.
You can. Yes.
But you can't have French healthcare in the United States. Or, you know, like you can't, like some of those things you can't change. And if you don't try to get other people to do what you're doing and you don't try to meet some external non-realistic expectation while you're doing it, maybe it's just the release of that is part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this leads me to something else that I didn't ask you. You mentioned about, you know, you have a book inside of you and you feel that everybody else is a book inside of them. And one of the things that we're doing inside of the Organized 365 social media now is sharing how people are using their extra 5 hours that they get from using the Sunday basket. So how are you using your extra 5 hours?
I would say I'm using it to spend more time with people I love and doing new projects, doing new things.
Yeah.
Coming up like with new purples, new pinks.
These long dinners that you're having with friends and pulling these books out of people. Yeah.
Yes.
So could you send a picture of one of these long dinners that you're having? Like, you don't have to show other people's faces or whatever. So we could share it on our social media as to what you're doing with your extra five. You could just send that picture to Pat.
I'll send it to Pat. Yeah. I'll see how they did on the setting the table while I've been upstairs here. We'll see if it's pretty enough. I'll take a picture for you and send it over to Pat.
Yes. That would be awesome.
And there's definitely a cheese platter because, you know, this is France. Yeah.
So, all right, one more funny story and then we'll go. So yes. I earned a cruise when Abby was only like 6 months old. Greg and I went on this cruise because I won it from Creative Memories. And it was a whole week. And then Greg treated me and we went to this, like, I don't know, bazillion course dinner. And they had, it was in a cheese room and you had like a whole cheese course. There was a course of just cheese. And all the staff was French. And we went in and we sat down. We were eating with this other couple that were very cultured and they had a cheese plate before. We'd never had a cheese plate before. And so Greg's looking at the cart comes out of all the cheeses. And we're Americans. And so the whole cart comes out. And Greg goes, "Is that Brie?" And the guy says, "That is as far from Brie as you can be." And Greg was like, "Whatever, I'll have whatever. What? Just give me some cheese." It's like he didn't know what the cheese was. But yes, I've had the cheese cart.
Yes, well, there's a whole etiquette to the cheese cart.
We didn't know it, obviously. I'll need to take that course.
Okay, maybe I'll put it in the book.
Send me a video.
How to eat
cheese. The cheese. So yeah, Greg and I flunked out of the cheese cart course.
Okay, cheese cart. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving me another entry.
Which reminds me, so you could put this in your book too. Did you ever see the movie Mr. Mom?
No.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious. In the 80s. So Michael Keaton becomes a stay-at-home mom. This is in the 80s. It's not politically correct. Nothing. I rewatched this movie recently. Nothing in there is politically correct, just in case you're wondering. You have to remember this was done in the 80s. So Michael Keaton is the stay-at-home mom. And he goes to the grocery store and he goes to the deli counter to get the meats and the cheeses. And so he says, "Yeah, I'll have a pound of meat." And they're like, "Okay, would you like, ham, salami, prosciutto, whatever?" He's like, "All right, skip that. I'll have a pound of cheese. Do you want Swiss, provolone, American?" He goes, "Okay, can you go back to the meats?" And the line behind him is like, "Oh, come on, man. You don't know how to order your hams."
I love it.
That would be the American version. Of the cheese cart.
Well, I think there's more than 400 cheeses in this country.
I think I just need to come visit you.
Lisa, we have a guest room.
In your 400-year-old house?
Yes. Yes. Cathedral ceilings in the guest room. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Rolling view of the countryside. We have more cows on our street than cars. So.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, I'm going to have to put this in my pink wish list travel / bucket.
Yes.
Martine, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.